Hi, I'm Tim Hall, and I know you're going to enjoy it today. I'm excited about preaching. I'm going to talk about a great fire burning up in your belly. I want to talk about the fire of God and the touch of God. It's time for the body of Christ to be totally on fire for Jesus.
We have had a remarkably good time over in Vanuatu. New Guinea was incredible. It was phenomenal up in New Guinea, and we went straight from there where God just moved powerfully there, and we went down to Vanuatu, had a team of 100 people down there, and really they all saw tremendous miracles, and we had an incredible time. We had, in a city of 46,000, we finished up with probably close to 20,000 of the 46 in there, and it was extraordinary. And would you like to see a little bit of it? Would you? Oh, pity we didn't have something. But anyway, loved it. Would you like to? Not enthusiastic enough. Would you like to? Oh, okay. Okay. Let's put it up there right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Vanuatu. Next year, Vanuatu 3.
Daughter
is pregnant and about to have a baby, so
she says she wants to name it after me because God did a miracle today.
He's a God who wants to meet you and me and all of us in the real world. He wants to meet you and your family. He wants to meet you in your heart.
We release the healing anointing over her right now. We thank you, Father, for the victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you
want to
try walking?
You can walk.
Yes.
No pain?
Yay!
High five.
Praise God.
There was a lady who was told that her child was dead, that there was no life inside of her. As I laid hands, I started declaring life into this baby. By the end of it, this stomach was moving. She could feel her baby moving. She felt life come into it once again.
How real is the power of God? Come here.
You come
up here. The power of God is real.
Power of God to be true.
God wants to release the power of God into you tonight.
God, to be someone to put the power of God in the life for you.
How belong God to be true?
What does Vanuatu need tonight?
Vanuatu is not needing one of today tonight.
What does this country need tonight?
Country ain't needing one of today tonight.
This country needs a mighty baptism in power.
Country ain't needing say I'm baptized in power.
The guy was paralyzed with a stroke.
I think it's time for Vanuatu to have a revival like nothing that has ever been seen in the South Pacific. What would happen tonight if 120 people were filled with mighty power?
What if it happened to the night? Suppose 120 Layumi only pulled up with the people of power.
What would happen if 500?
What if something happened? Suppose 500.
Suppose 5,000.
Suppose 5,000.
Suppose 10,000.
Suppose 10,000.
Suppose 12 or 15,000.
Suppose 12 or 15,000.
This whole city would shake under the power of God.
By every second Port Vila with the power of your car.
Our team over there, how many from the team? How many here from the team? Who was there? Give me a big wave. One. Two, three, four, five, six, all over there. I estimate that it would be at least, and I think this would be conservative through our team, 1,000 major healings, including that dead child in the womb, crippled legs, blind, deaf, So many people in the hospital set free, just miracle after miracle after miracle. And I hardly prayed for anybody. I laid hands on a few. And some of the things that I just prayed for a few, but it was our team that were just in the markets and everywhere and astonishing. Thank you for coming, guys. I want to preach a short message. I want to. It doesn't mean we're going to. I want to. Father, let your anointing be here in a great way. Father, thank you for authority in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 20. And I really just want to look at one verse. Jeremiah was an amazing prophet. He's called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah, really, God raised him up and he went through hell. He literally went through hell. They locked him into, they beat him, they put him down in pits. And every time he got out, the fire of God was on him. He'd point his finger and prophesy, and he would weep for the nation and speak the word, undiluted, never backed off. If you want to read a man of courage, read the book of Jeremiah and get to know the man. But he went through a time of frustration, and I'm sure no one here has ever been through a time of frustration beside me. I was frustrated when I dropped the notes there. I thought, that's great. But we go through times of frustration. He went through a time where God said, you preach the word. Don't worry, I've anointed you. You go and preach it. And the more he preached it, the worse it got, until everything he spoke was held in derision. And he said, everything I say, you tell me to say it, and I'm held in derision. God, you tell me to speak it, and the results are more and more opposition, until he wondered really whether God was even on his side. He said, God, where are you in this thing? This thing's crazy. But then he said, one thing I can't explain. He said, no matter how tough it gets, no matter what's coming against me, no matter what's going on down inside me, there is a burning fire shut up in my bones. He said, everything comes against me, but down inside me is a burning fire that is burning right down in my bones. I love the words here. The word burning fire, the word burning in the Hebrew language means brutish or brutal. There is a ferocious, consuming fire. And the word for fire is a fiery flame or a hot flaming fire. He says, everything's against me. I'm under pressure. I speak and the whole nation turns against me. But all the way through it, I can't explain. Right down in here, in my bones, in my body, you have put a brutal, powerful, unquenchable, unstoppable, supernatural, divinely lit, fiery, burning flame of fire that has got right down into my inner being to such a degree it is right down there in my bones. He said, I got fire in my bones. I don't know about you, but I don't just want a little touch of the fire of God. We've come to a time in world history right now where the gospel is going to have to be taken by people that are ablaze with the glory of God. It's not going to be a time for the faint-hearted these coming years. It's not going to be a time when it's all going to be easy. I think we're coming into some really tough waters, but in those tough waters is going to be the greatest harvest we could imagine, the greatest moving of the power of God we've ever seen. God's looking for a people that want to be part of a move of God that is going to demand courage, passion, prayerful seeking of God, and a hunger to be ignited so that we as well say, there is a fiery, brutish fire down in our belly that is so consuming that nothing can put it out. Nothing can stop it. I'm ablaze with his glory. God is wanting to light a fire in every one of us. I just sat down with a man a few minutes ago. We had a good chat. We're talking about stuff in India. We're talking about stuff all over the world that's opening up, things that are happening. And this thing in New Guinea next year is going to be massive, something to be part of that. And who knows what God's going to do. But I do know this. I don't want to go into 2017
where I am now, I want to go into 2017 freshly anointed, freshly empowered. I want God to breathe on the coals. If you're in business, He wants to breathe on the coals. If you're an athlete, He wants to breathe on the coals. If you're in the ministry, He wants you to go to another level of strength, another level of the power of God. So très bien. Vraiment. Allons vos enfants de la patrie. Yes. To another level. God wants to touch you. God wants to touch me. I love what the Bible says concerning bones. I remember a man in the Bible called Elisha. And the scripture says that Elisha, who did double the miracles of Elijah, was carrying such an anointing that when he died, they buried him. And after he was buried, he'd been in there a period of time, probably a couple of years, and they carried a dead man into the cemetery. And as they were carrying him in, the Midianites came over the hill. And all of a sudden, everyone ran except the guys carrying the body. And they said, what are we going to do with old George here? And they said, let's throw him into one of the tombs here. And they found the tomb of Elisha. And they thought Elisha probably wouldn't mind a bit of company down there. And they threw him in. And his body, the dead body, rolled down to the bottom of the tomb and hit the bones of Elisha. And the moment the body hit the bones of Elisha, the man was raised from the dead, because there was still enough of the anointing of God in the bones of a dead man. There's still enough power. How much was the power on him in his life? What rests on you and I? I mean, I want the power of God in my bones. I want the power of God in my muscle. And there's a lot of it hidden fairly well, but it's there. I want the power of God in my sinews and my skin and even in the fat. If I've got fat there, I want it anointed. Plenty of room for the anointing. Trying to get less room, we have to compact the anointing a bit more. But God wants us. I wouldn't mind after I'm dead and gone and in the ground, someone throws a body in, and I'd like to feel there's still enough unction in there for something to happen. Bible says in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, verse 6, it says, in that day, speaking of the last days, God says, in that day, I will make the clans of Judah, the word clan, or the tribes of Judah, the governors of Judah, or the clans of Judah, meaning praise. He said, I will make them as a shovel of white hot coals among the dry sticks, and they shall devour on the right and on the left. God says, I want to make you and I like a shovel full of white hot coals, cast in among the dry sticks, starting a fire that will burst on the right and on the left and in front and behind. We got word after Vanuatu that they can't explain the miracles that are happening. People were coming up and saying, I had this happen, I've had that happen, we've been changed. People are walking around full of the fire of God, changed by the anointing. We got to be fire starters. This is not the age to just be a Christian. This is the age to be a fiery, full-on, empowered man or woman of God carrying something, loaded with something. It's not time to just be a nicey-nice Christian. It's time to be fired-up warrior. It's time to wake up, you mighty men and women. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith with which you might quench every fiery dart of the evil one. And taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the sharp two-edged sword. God wants to set you and I on fire. God wants you in your university shaking the daylights out of it. God wants you in your school walking around with an anointing that people can't touch.
I hope you're enjoying the message, folks. I'm enjoying preaching it, and I hope you're enjoying listening. And may the fire of God just get in your bones as you're listening. Open up your heart, just let God touch you as the message goes. We're about to go to the second part.
Stephen in Acts 7 stood before the Sanhedrin, And as he stood before the Sanhedrin, he began to preach, and he preached a history of Israel that's about the best thing you can read if you want to understand the history of Israel. And then as they looked upon him, his face began to shine with a holy shine, like a fire, like an angel, and they began to gnash their teeth, and they couldn't cope with the wisdom or the spirit that was on him. The time's coming when the world's going to rise up, but they won't be able to handle the anointing that's on you and I. They won't be able to handle the anointing that flows through you. One of my friends in Turkey, Istanbul, a few years ago, they had him trying to make him sign a form to, which was really going to get him out of the country, trying to sign this form. He said, "I won't sign it." And they said, "You sign it." He said, "I won't sign it." And a guy pulled a gun and put a gun at his head and said, "Sign it or I'll blow your brains out." And he looked at him and he said, "Go ahead and shoot. Shoot me, because I know where I'm going, but you don't." Oh, there's a new level of Christianity coming. There's a new wave of Christians rising up. Are you one of them? Am I one of them? There's a new generation that know no fear. Napoleon, the great general, once asked his troops, he had an assignment in which most of them would probably die. Napoleon said, "I want the most courageous men that belong to this army who don't even know the meaning of the word fear." He had more volunteers than he could cope with. But God, right now, Bible says in Psalm 110, "My people will volunteer in the day of my power." Can I put to you right now that we are living right now in the day of his power? We're living in the day of his anointing. We're living in the day when it's the church. Let the church be the church. Let the church be the fullness of him that fills all in all. It's a day when the church will manifest the resurrection, life, and fire and power of God everywhere. You say, "Well, I'm just a churchgoer." Well, I think God's looking for a little bit more. You say, "Well, I'm just happy being a Christian and going to church on Sunday and just reading my Bible and just going along to urban life. Maybe now and again, just a little bit of worship. Perhaps if I continue to practice my singing, I might be used on one of the albums. I have written some lovely music, which one day I'll be able to present to Joth. That's my place in the bot." No, 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 no. As they beheld the boldness of Peter and John, not the baldness, the boldness. And they recognized that they were unlearned and ignorant men, from the Greek word idiotus. As they recognized that they were illiterate, uneducated, slightly idiotic. And that's what gives me hope. They took note that they'd been with Jesus. There was a fire coming out of their belly. There was a fire in their hands. There's an anointing over them. Their words were loaded. God's wanting to load us up. God's looking for some loaded people. Excuse me getting excited. It's just coming out like that. It's in there like a burning fire, cooking in my belly. I could preach today and say, I want you to turn in your Bible, the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 241. But I really would sooner just let loose something that's just building up in here. It's trapped in here. I mean, it's trapped in here. Till you get up to preach and then all of a sudden the trap door opens and stuff comes out and you start to go, "Man, I'm preaching to myself." We need the mighty fire of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist prophesied and they said, "John, are you the one? Look at the crowds that are coming. Are you the one?" John said, "No. No, I'm not. There's one coming after me so much more powerful that I am not even worthy to get down on the ground and crawl along and do up his shoes." He said, "I baptize indeed with water, for the remission of sins, but there's one coming after me, and he is so powerful. He will baptize you and immerse you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And the word for fire is the word for lightning fire. He said, he will baptize you in water and lightning fire. Have you ever seen lightning, a flash of lightning? A big flash has enough power to pick up a family car and throw it 2 miles in the air. A flash of lightning at the center is hotter than the sun. John the Baptist said, that's what he's going to baptize you into. I love what Reinhard Bonnke said. He said, just getting the... John indeed baptized with water, but Jesus will immerse you in the liquid fire of God. Hallelujah! He will immerse you into the liquid fire of God. I wonder if anyone today would say, God, throw me in. Is there anyone would say, throw me in? Throw me in. Immerse me. Fill me. Empower me. Change me. Set me on fire. Spurgeon. Young man came to Spurgeon. I'm nearly finished. Young man came to Spurgeon and he said, Mr. Spurgeon, what do I need to have revival in my church? And he said, son, get on fire for Jesus and they'll come miles just to watch you burn. Reinhard Bonnke was flying into an African country and they said, I've told you this before. You remember? No. They said, Pastor Bonnke, when you flew in here, could you feel the powers of hell and demons in our city? We're in a city of witchcraft and devils. Couldn't you feel the powers of hell when you flew in? Reinhard said, no, I could feel nothing but the burning fire of Jesus. He said, if a devil comes to land on me, it will burn its dirty fingers. Reinhard said, I am not afraid of the devil. I believe the devil is afraid of me. Someone says, I'm troubled by the devil. What do I do? Pastor Tim, can I sit down with you and be counseled? Because I'm being troubled by the devil. I said, I've got the devil. My answer, go and fast and pray and seek God and get a blaze of fire burning in your belly. And the devil, if he comes to touch you again, will burn his dirty fingers. He'll burn his fingers. Burn his fingers. Get so hot for God that the devil won't even come near your house. Get praying. Our place, the devil's scared of our house. Jackie's praying all day long. Ironing. Prophesying stuff over me. And Lord, help Tim get his act together. Jesus. I walk in the door and I go, oh. Even I'm scared to go in there. Let your house be filled. Let the fire burn. Get your kids on fire for God. Lay hands on them. Knock them over under the power of God. They come in to say, Mummy, Daddy, can we just pray for us before we go to bed? Certainly, kids. Fire from heaven. Bang. Pick them up again. Fire from heaven. How's it going, kids? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no worries about the boogeyman. The boogeyman's worried about the kids. Nothing under that bed. The glory of God's under that bed. Whew. Man, I'm getting a sweat up. I'm supposed to be on fire. I'm getting wet. Would you like the last story? You've heard it before. That doesn't matter. You don't remember anything I tell you. I love ministering to Aboriginal people. Any Aboriginal people here today? Any Indigenous Australians? God bless you. God bless you. How many more? I tell you, you get out there in the outback with our Indigenous Australians and you talk about Holy Ghost meetings. We had one meeting at midnight, New Year's Eve. I waved my hand in Jesus' name and hundreds went out under the power of God and I couldn't sleep for the crying and the sobbing that went on into about 4 o'clock in the morning. One young man went home. He'd never been in meetings like this in his life. 5 days
under Pentecostal fire went home and his entire community turned to Christ. One of my friends in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting, so hit by the power of God, he went home and he went into one town, began to preach. The fire of God came down. The entire town was hit by a cloud of glory. The whole town was under the power of God. Many for 24 hours went round, picked them up and led them to Christ and had a church of 600 in 24 hours. Here's the last story. I've got 3 minutes and 19 seconds. Alco Island, up in the right up the top of Australia. Alco Island, I'm trying to remember where it is. It's right up the top. Northern Territory, I think. Yeah, Territory. Alco Island was in a lot of trouble. Alco Island by name, Alco Island by activity. The alcohol ran through that place, poured through there, families in all sorts of trouble, messed up. Every bad thing was happening in that community until the elders said, we need to do something. We've got to get this right. And they went down into a big field of bamboos, cleared an area, and they said, we're going to fast and pray until something happens. And they did. They fasted, they prayed, they sought God, and when they came out, they had a flame of fire all over their heads. People came down to put the fire out. They saw this supernatural fire, went down, and out they walked, ablaze with the same fire that was there on their heads on the day of Pentecost. And I want to tell you, that same fire is here to fill you and I today. Well, there was a revival. Needless to say, there was a massive move of God. The whole place went into revival. And a bunch of young people rose up, about 20 of them, and they said, we're going to go right through Western Australia particularly. Going to go right down the west coast of Australia, and we're going to go church after church, and we're going to lead, we're going to have revival. The first place they went was with the Aboriginals at Warburton, which was a pretty rugged area with the elders. Started to preach. Power of God came down. The elders came in and said, you've got to stop preaching. We had this before, and when we had it before, people were changed and they went back. We don't want that again. So stop. We don't want this. Said, if you keep preaching, we'll spear you to death. And then they got the spears out and they drew a line across the ground. And they said, anyone that's going to preach for Jesus, cross that line. Some of them walked away, but most of them pulled their shoulders back, pulled their heads back, and with the fire of heaven in their eyes, stepped over that line. And they stood there looking at the elders, and one of the leaders of the young men stood up. There's some young women too. It was a mix. This young man stood up and he said, you're going to kill us, we know. We're ready, but we will preach. But let me talk to you now on behalf of those that are about to die. And they said, oh, okay. And he began to preach. As he preached, the elders, one by one, put their spears down and knelt on the ground. Many of them started weeping. Others fell under the power. People began to fall out everywhere as the glory of God came down and revival went through that community. In fact, the elders embraced it and they were saved and a revival started in amongst those Warburton Aboriginal people. That was a big scale. They began to travel and they traveled right through Western Australia, going into churches, outdoors. They'd go into a church and sit down and the fire of God would go through and the wind of God would go through those churches. People would weep and sob and communities turned to Christ. Because they crossed the line. And you know, I think God is talking to his church about crossing a line. About crossing a line into another dimension. Thanks for watching today. I hope you got a touch of fire. I hope you just got touched by the power of God. Stay on fire. Get on fire. Live on fire. And let the fire of Jesus just spread everywhere you go for the glory of his name. Thanks for watching.